Now, you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, why in the world is there a tree on the platform? I know that's probably what you're thinking. The reality is I was thinking about how it's so easy in life to kind of just go through every single day and miss some of the most vital parts of life. Like, my guess is most of you didn't even think anything about the myriad of trees that you passed on your way to church. Most of us probably passed hundreds, maybe thousands, some tens of thousands of trees on our way in. And if I'm truthful, I rarely notice trees. That's why I wanted one up here. It's because it's so easy to go through life and to miss what is part of what I should say the backdrop of life that is so easy to, it goes unnoticed every day. I don't think about trees very often except for a few times a year. When do I think about trees? I think about trees every fall when the leaves begin to change colors to these vibrant orange and yellow and red colors. And it's so beautiful. You just take it all in because it's also a sign that hell is coming. Y'all know that, right? Winter, I mean, not hot, but cold. Like, and so it's a clue. It's like, you better capture the beauty now because it's going to be gone soon. And then I also recognize the other rhythm whenever spring shows up, when we go from everything brown to all of a sudden trees beginning to bud and green leaves coming back and the ones that flower, doesn't it just kind of bring life to your soul when you see trees and grass coming back green? There's something about them that's so, so beautiful. And I just notice I miss it most of the time. I live in a house that's got woods next door, and to be honest, I never think about the trees. I never do. The only time I think about the trees is when they're dropping leaves all in my yard and I got to figure out how to get rid of them, or when a windstorm comes and knocks over a tree and I got to get out there with a chainsaw and cut it up. Other than that, I'm not thinking about trees. And yet, the reality is trees are so crucial. They're vital for your existence. You know that, right? That we need trees. If there's no trees, there's no us. And God created our world with this incredible symbiotic relationship that we have to all other living things, including trees. There's a dependence that you and I have on trees. Why? Because trees, they come and they absorb the very thing that we exhale, carbon dioxide, and through this beautiful system that God created them with, They put off oxygen that you and I breathe to sustain life. And so no trees, no life. Trees are that important, and yet how often do they fade into the backdrop of life and we never even think about them? Perhaps maybe you don't even give them much thought when it comes to your faith. I was thinking about how trees seem to be so central to the story of Scripture. All throughout Scripture, you see over and over trees, important trees, keep showing up. From the very beginning of the Bible, in the first few chapters, the story, the narrative of Adam and Eve in a garden, what do you find? There's trees. God created all these luscious trees for them to eat the fruit of. And there were two specific trees that were really important. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was a tree that represented choice that God gave to us. And then there was the tree of life. This tree that if you ate from it would lock you in your state for all eternity. These were significant to the story of mankind and God's redemption of our fallen world. As you follow through Scripture, you just see trees showing up. You see trees in the ancient world. You should know that ancient customs and cultures would use trees for boundary markers. They would use trees to represent places that you buried someone. It was a reminder of where you planted somebody in the ground. Or people used trees. It was under trees that people would gather and create places of worship. There was something so significant to trees. You see trees used all through the Old Testament. Whether it was the stick, the staff that Moses used, that God did a miracle when he threw his tree on the ground and it turned into a serpent. Or Aaron's staff that God miraculously budded to show who he was, who his chosen priest was. There's story after story of trees throughout the Bible. God used them as prophetic images. You can look at the book of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. There's trees that represented the future. And then, of course, you get into the New Testament. And maybe there's no more important or significant tree than the tree that Jesus was hung upon, that he gave his life for you and me. I mean, trees are central to the story of faith. And all the way to the very end, in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, you know, you get this vivid image of what to expect in the future, and it's beautiful environment and a river flowing from the throne of God surrounded by trees. Trees are central to the story of humanity. But you know what I find maybe the most fascinating thing about trees throughout Scripture is I find this parallel or connection between us and trees. Over and over, you see this metaphor of us and trees and the connection that maybe God created for us. In fact, I'd love to read to you from Psalm chapter 1, if you've got your Bible with you or your electronic device. I'd love to read to you. This is one of my favorite psalms. In the first few verses, and this was a book of songs. And so this is a song that the ancient Hebrews would have sung and would have been able to memorize. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." That person is like a what? Say it out loud. That person's like a, it's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield it fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. I don't know if you want that kind of life, but I do. There's something beautiful about it. The psalmist points out that this is the life of somebody who chooses to walk with God, who chooses to push away from the way of the world. The imagery that's used in this is, blessed is the person who doesn't hang out with all the wrong people, who doesn't walk down the path with all the people going their own direction, who doesn't hang out with the people who are always making the wrong choices, but blessed is the person who delights in the way of the Lord, the law of the Lord. In fact, as an ancient Hebrew would have heard this song, they would have thought about their scriptures. They would have thought about God's word to them in the Torah. When they heard this, and he's talking about the key to a happy life. Do you know that's what blessed means? It means happy. Here's what I know about all of us. We all want to be happy. We all want a fulfilled life. We all want a life that experiences the blessing of God, to live the life that God created us to live. And the psalmist says, here's the key. Let me give you the key. The key is somebody who meditates on God's way to move in that direction. And then he compares a person who does that with a tree. Not just any tree, but a tree that is planted by streams of water. It is so vital to be planted. Can I just tell you about this tree? This tree is going to be planted. If I did not plant this tree, it would die. Every living thing at times needs to be planted. There's something powerful about being planted. Why? Because you can dig roots in the soil, pull nutrients so that living things can flourish and come to life. And I'm almost picturing God who's trying to tell us, if you want a happy life, if you want a life that is going to flourish in all areas, what you need to be is planted. There's a power to being planted. You understand that, right? There's a power to being planted. When you're planted in a relationship, what happens? You find security. There's something powerful about being planted in a relationship, of a marriage, the ultimate, where there's supposed to be security, right? When you're planted in a family, what do you find? Stability. There's stability about being planted in a family. When you're planted in God's house, there's protection that comes over you. There's provision that comes over you. There's purpose that comes out of your life. There's something powerful when you get planted in God's house. In fact, it made me think of Psalm 92, which is another beautiful picture in Scripture of us and trees. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14 says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree." If I could be any tree, I'm picking a palm tree. Anybody else? Hello, I want to be a palm tree. I wish we could have palm trees here in Ohio. They would not survive. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. That kind of person will grow like a cedar that's strong and big of Lebanon. Look at verse 13, how everybody say that word with me, planted. How will a righteous person grow? They will be planted in the house of the Lord. They will do what? They will flourish. I want my life to flourish. I think you do too. They'll flourish in the courts of our God. Look at verse 14. This is going to be encouragement to my more experienced people. It says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Do you want your life to stay fresh and green? Do you want to experience happiness? Do you want to experience a flourishing in your life? You've got to be planted. There's a power to being planted like a tree. And you know, in our culture today, can I just say that what is really popular, can I say, is being more transient. What do I mean by that? I mean, we go from thing to thing to thing trying to find what will satisfy, don't we? We go from person to person, relationship to relationship, looking for something that's missing. We'll go from house to house to house. We'll spend more and more money. We need a nicer car, newer car, better car. We keep going after more and more things, and we hop from place to place. And listen, we do that with church sometimes. Oh, I want something new. I need something fresh. I need something this. And we'll go from place to place. We don't understand the power of being planted somewhere so that roots can begin to dig deep. And eventually you can produce something in your life. And it takes time, but most of us don't want to be planted. We don't want to be planted. I'm asking you today, what if you saw yourself like a tree? So what do I mean by that? I don't know. Scripture says it. What if you saw your life like a tree? What if we're like a tree? That doesn't sound cool. You think about trees. I mean, I've been talking this whole time. That tree hasn't done anything. Boring, just stand. You never notice that trees? I think that's why they disappear into the backdrop of life is because they don't do anything. Just stand here. I'm gonna be a tree, right? But if you think about trees, I know there's nothing cool about trees maybe in that perspective, but here's what I know about trees. Trees are designed to do one thing specifically. There's one thing I know, and that is that if I take this tree, which we're going to, and we plant it in the ground, what should happen to this tree? It will do what? It'll grow. It'll grow. Why? Because God created all living things with a common characteristic. Let me say it this way. Living things are designed to grow. Right? All living things are designed to grow, are they not? Like insects, they grow. Grass, it grows. Everything that's living is designed to grow. Birds and mammals, amphibians, doesn't matter, humans. If you are alive, God has pre-wired you, engineered you, designed you to grow. In fact, one of the ways we know something is healthy when it's alive is that it grows. Only when living things are not healthy, whether they're starved of nutrition or whether they have disease or whatever it might be, does it cause a living thing not to flourish and grow. But God designed us to grow. When I think about trees, in fact, I spent a lot of time this week studying trees. I'm pretty much an arborist now. I can almost tell you whatever you want to know about trees. But one of the things I discovered about trees is that trees have two primary types of growth. Two types of growth with trees. They have what's called primary growth and also secondary growth. Primary growth and secondary growth. Maybe you can imagine what these two are. Let me tell you what they are. Primary growth is when a tree planted begins to grow upward, okay? When you take a seedling that over time becomes a sapling that eventually becomes a mature tree, what is it doing? It is growing taller. It's getting taller, right? Primary growth. Secondary growth, you can maybe imagine what secondary growth is. Secondary growth will be when the tree grows wider. This tree planted eventually is gonna grow wider. It's gonna grow thicker. It's gonna go stronger. When I think about all living things, including humans, you know what I think? Maybe we all have primary and secondary growth. Right? Especially when we're born and we're young and we're little, there's primary growth. What happens? You shoot up, right? When we're young, we grow taller, we get bigger until you reach maturity. Once you reach maturity, you stop growing up. But how many of you know that the real problem in life that we all deal with is not primary growth, it's secondary growth? Anybody struggle with secondary growth? Hello? Yeah. It's like, I ain't got a problem with primary growth. I stopped growing. Some of you are primary growth challenged. You never really got quite that tall. But how many of you are like, I'm actually secondary growth. I'm not secondary growth challenged. I got plenty of that, right? Secondary growth is getting wider. It's getting stronger. It's getting bigger, right? And I was thinking about all of us in our journey of growth. And here's the thing about growth that's so interesting is that God designed trees like this to grow. And he's designed you and me to grow. It's like one of the primary things that all living things do. And yet here's the reality. You can't see growth. Have you ever noticed that you can't see living things grow? When you have something as one of its primary functions is to grow, but you can never see it. I mean, that's crazy. Like I never see things grow. You don't see your grass grow. It's springtime and I don't know if you've got crazy neighbors like I do, but I've got a handful of neighbors that have already been out there mowing their grass. I don't understand you. Like mine's still brown, and they got people out there putting lines in their yard already. God, give it a break. Give it a moment, man. I don't. And here's the thing about grass, right? I've never seen grass grow. In fact, we say this about boring things. It's like watching grass grow. It's so imperceptible that you don't even see it. And you could go sit in your yard the rest of today and just stare. Just like, you can sit here all day and just stare at this. You will never see it move. You won't. You'll never see it move. But here's what I know, that the spring is about every 4 days that I have to get out and mow my grass because it's growing. It's weird, isn't it? You can't see the growth, but then it's there. And I think it's maybe even true when you think about us, when you think about the way God's created us. I think about kids. Kids are the same way. Parents, you remember this with your kids? When you see your kids every day, you don't ever see their bones growing. You don't see their muscles growing. You don't see their hair growing. You don't see any of it, but your kids are growing. In fact, I notice this more when I see your kids. When I haven't seen your kids in a while, and then I see them, I go, oh my gosh, they sprouted right up. They got so tall. When did that happen? You say, I don't know. You never see your own kids grow. You just put them up against the door jamb and you mark it every so often. You go, oh my gosh, you're growing, right? Or you buy them clothes because they need new clothes for school and new shoes. And 1 month later, they're coming complaining, going, I outgrew my shoes. You're like, dear God, these were expensive, right? This is what we all experience when it comes to growth. In fact, this is one of the things I'm getting to kind of enjoy and watch with our grandson, Cohen. He's growing so fast because when they're little, they start off growing, primary growth, they grow really fast. And I was just noticing how quickly he's grown. He's just turned 9 months old. And in fact, I wanted to show you, in just 9 months, I have a picture of him. That was him at 1 month old. Just a cutie, can't even sit up, can't do anything. Just, you put him there, you lay him there, and he just sits there, right? That's all he does. But what was cool is he just had his 9 month birthday and his mom takes pictures, and that's him at 9 months. Isn't he adorable? And it's like 8 months later, he's full of life and he's crawling everywhere and he's walking and holding on to things and he's just grown so fast. I mean, it's so crazy to see how fast he's growing in front of us, but we never see the growth. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if it's the same as true for us spiritually. Like here's been my experience, and maybe this isn't yours, but I think this is pretty common with most of us. And if you're here and maybe you're a follower of Jesus, then you can maybe relate to this. But it feels like early on, at the very beginning of faith, that there is this burst of primary growth. Like when you first come to faith in Jesus, I don't know if this way was for you, but for me, it was like my heart exploded. It was like things came alive. It was like a whole, there was a whole other universe that I didn't even realize existed. And what happens is when you first come to faith and you begin a relationship with God through Jesus, it's like everything is brand new. And so you maybe start reading the Bible for the first time and you'll open the Bible and you'll read it and you'll be like, oh, things are just leaping off the page into your soul. And you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this existed. And it's just filling you with so much. And maybe just like every new relationship that you begin, it's invigorating. You know, when you begin any new relationship, it's exciting, it's fresh. And when you begin a relationship with Jesus, you're all of a sudden, there's an awareness of God you didn't have before. So you find yourself at work and you know you should be concentrating, but you're thinking about God and you begin to talk to God and it's almost like he's right there and it's amazing. I remember the first time when I just really began to sense the presence of God. You remember the first time where you just felt like God was near to you? And it was like there was a feeling that came over maybe your body and your mind and your soul and it just washed over you. And it was so electric that you almost felt like there was like goosebumps or chills on your body. And you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like God is with me and near me. This is what it's like for primary growth. It's exciting. But I don't know if your experience looks like mine, but can I just tell you, that only lasted for so long. And then it just slowed down. Felt like nothing was happening. If I could be honest with you, there are seasons of my life where I just feel like there's no growth. And though I might be praying and what was once, I felt like, oh, I was connecting with the Creator, now feels just like I'm so distracted and I feel like nothing happens and it's just a chore. And reading my Bible, I know it's important, so I'm trying to read it, but nothing's jumping off the page at me anymore. And it feels like everything just halted, everything just slowed way down because what happens to us spiritually is at first it's exciting and we grow quick first, but then it all slows way down. And you can get discouraged. You feel like something's wrong. The church, you'll feel unsettled and something's not right anymore. Can I give you a perspective that really helped me? See, as I was studying trees, because I think there's a connection between us and living things and God created us in a certain way. As I was studying trees, one of the things that I discovered was that trees don't grow continuously, they grow in spurts. That trees begin to shoot up, but then eventually it slows down. And trees will have something that will initiate new growth, spring. Spring initiates new growth. And all of a sudden, the tree's starting to grow in a season. And then guess what? It stops. And it feels like everything just gets, it's just like it stops. And then something has to initiate new growth in it. And I started to think about our own life and our own journey, my faith journey. And I realized maybe what is really needed is something to initiate growth again in my own life. There's some of you that feel stagnant. You feel stuck in stasis, that nothing is happening, and you want to start complaining and blaming everybody else. You'll have a tendency when inside you stop changing and growing to start blaming your environment, your spouse, your family, your church, your pastor, everybody else. But maybe it's just that you need something to initiate growth again in your life. Made me think of something that Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, wrote. And he was trying to encourage a church much like ours. In his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, if I could just share this with you, verses 3 and on, I want you to just receive what Peter says about growth, because I think this is something that we all wrestle with. This is something we all want to know. He said this, Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need to live and serve God. We have these things because we know him. And I love the relational aspect of it. How do you have everything you need to live and serve God? It comes through a relationship with Jesus, okay? It says, Jesus called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he gave us the very great and precious promises. With these gifts, you can share in God's nature and the world will not ruin you with its evil desires. Pause for just a moment before we read on. I want to paraphrase what Peter's saying. This is important. He says, listen, everything that you and I need to experience the blessed life that the psalmist talks about in Psalm 1, everything that we need to experience what it means to walk in God's ways, walk after God's nature, and not follow the desires of our own sinful life or of the world. Everything you need, you have access to through a relationship with Jesus. That he brings power and his spirit into your life, and it's what causes you. That's why that initial primary growth that you experience is so electric. It's because for the first time, you're encountering the spirit, the presence, and the power of Jesus in your life. And it is everything that you need to live and to serve and to follow God. You say, if that's true, then why is it feels like everything just stops? Why is it I feel like, oh, this is, and then it just kind of drops off. It's because of what I'm going to show you what Peter says next. Because there's a difference between us recognizing the access that we have to God's spirit in us and us taking the responsibility to initiate the growth process. This is what I want us to see. In verse 5, here's what Peter says. He says, because you have these blessings, do your best to add these things to your lives. To your faith, add goodness. And to your goodness, add knowledge. And to your knowledge, add self-control. And to your self-control, add patience. And to your patience, add service to God. And to your service for God, add kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to this kindness, add love. Look at this. If all these things are in you and are what? Say it out loud. And are? This is important. If all of these things are in you and growing, this is the important part. They will help you to be useful and productive. Remember we talked about the tree that's planted by streams of living water that will produce fruit. It will yield and not wither. This is what he's talking about. They will help you to be useful and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who does not have these things cannot see clearly. You actually are going through life blind if these things aren't in you and growing. He is blind and has forgotten that he was made clean from his past sins. Here's what Peter's saying, right? Because of your relationship with Jesus and having access to all that you need for life and serving God, all you have to do is just sit back and let God do it. Right? No, wait. Did I mess that up? I think I messed that up on purpose. Because sometimes what we think, and I hear these Christian cliches thrown around in church sometimes that are not even biblical, sometimes you just gotta let go and let God. If you love that phrase, I apologize. It's awful. I get some essence of it. There are worries that we carry that we have to give to God. I understand that. But sometimes I think we think, oh, well, I gave my life to Jesus, and so now I just wait for him to do it all. That's not what Peter said. You did catch that, right? Peter didn't say, oh, this is where I just stand here like a tree and let God do it all. No. Peter said that what we need to do is add to your faith. A relationship with God starts in faith. Then Peter comes along and says, oh, add to your faith what? Goodness. You ought to work on being a good person. Can I tell you one of the reasons why I think the world has not been so excited to believe the message that we hold as followers of Jesus? Is because we got a lot of people who are claiming to know Jesus, but our life isn't very good. Maybe what we need to do is add to our faith something. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Great. Now why don't you work on becoming a good person? Add to your faith goodness. And oh, by the way, add to your goodness knowledge. You know, it might actually help you to grow if you would spend some time and energy diving in to learn more about your faith. And I applaud you for coming here on Sunday. We should do that. I hope messages that I share and others share will encourage you and help you to grow in that area. But can I just tell you, if this is the only meal you eat every single week, you're gonna starve because you're a living thing. Maybe what you wanna do is you gotta consume a little bit on your own. You add to your goodness knowledge, add to your knowledge self-control. That would be a practice that we should work on, right? I wanna say this and I wanna tear you and I wanna do this, but you know what? I'm not going to. You know, you start practicing self-control, and here's what I think eventually the Spirit of God will do in you, is he'll change the thoughts inside of you so you don't even want to do that eventually. But you got to start by practicing the self-control. You add to that patience. You add to that service. Maybe it's time to serve others in your life. You add to that kindness. Maybe we need some kinder Christians in this world. Maybe more people would say, I want to know the God you serve if they ran into some Christians who are kinder than what we've experienced in the past. And let's let them experience our love in a real way. When we add these things to our life, it's what enables you to be mature. I want you to hear this, because some of us think that maybe I gave my life to Jesus and I go to church. That's incredible. Primary growth. You're just starting out. Consistency, it's powerful. It really is. You should be here to be challenged by messages like this, but can I give you just this thought? Your faith grows when you add to it. Your faith grows when you add to it. And I know when we hear that, I think part of us is like, oh, I thought we weren't supposed to add anything. No, that's the gospel. We don't add anything to it. Here's what I want you to understand. When it comes to faith, here's the beautiful thing. You don't need to add anything to what Jesus already did for you and me on the cross. You don't add anything. That's the beautiful thing, is that he did it all. I don't have to keep trying. When it comes to this idea of faith and what it means to have saving faith, he did it all. But that's the gospel. There's more than just the good news, the elementary message of Christ. There is us taking steps in our life to initiate growth, adding to our faith goodness and self-control and knowledge and patience and kindness and all of those things. We have to do that in partnership with God. You understand what I'm saying today? You don't add to the work Jesus did, but in your own life, if you want to grow, you have to add to it. That's what Peter said. You have to add to it. I love what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 6, says, let us move on from the elementary teachings of Christ. There comes a point in your life and that you have to move on from the basics in your own personal faith journey, and let us grow to become mature. How do you do that? You get planted, and then you add to your faith. You have to initiate the growth. This is really important. You've got to initiate the growth. And I think sometimes, if I could be honest, in the church world, some of us are really good at mimicking someone who's growing, even when we're not. I think if you're around the church long enough, and this is what you'll pick up on, is that we learn how to behave when we're around certain people. You know we do that in the church, right? You know, you might have a foul mouth all week long. You show up at church on Sunday, you're like, praise Jesus, bless his holy name. God is so good, amen. Brother and sister, and we use this other language. But man, if someone followed you at work, they'd be like, dear God, oh my. I think what we've sometimes done is, in the church world, is we've learned to mimic maturity when there really isn't growth. And the truth is, you can't tell just by looking at the outside of somebody if they're growing. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but you can't tell by looking at the outside of a tree if it's growing. You can't tell. You might be able to measure it over time, but you can't tell. Do you know how you can tell if a tree is growing? You have to look on the inside. In fact, I brought with me part of a tree that came down in my own yard. This is called a tree cookie. You can't eat it. I don't know why it's called that, because I guess it looks like a cookie. But when you cut into a tree, y'all know what you see in this. You notice this pattern? These are called growth rings, right? And what these indicate are the seasons of growth in a tree. And so this tree started out really tiny, like a small little sapling, right? Seedling that became a sapling. It was real tiny. But year over year, there would be something that would initiate growth, and it would get wider. It would get taller and it'd get wider. And over time, what happens is this added layers to this, and that's how the tree gets stronger. That's how the tree gets bigger. That's how it can sustain horrible storms and how it can survive through harsh winter, is because it's got to get bigger. And I kind of look at what Peter was saying, and he was saying, you need some growth rings in your life, right? You need some growth rings in your life. That's what's so important, is to have things in your life for growth. And when I look at what Peter says, he says, how do I get growth rings? You work with God, you participate with God, and you initiate. God brings the growth, but you've got to do something. And I think there's a lot of people are just sitting around going, all right, God, grow me. Just do it. I want to be mature. God's going, okay, add to your faith goodness. And add to your goodness knowledge. And add to your knowledge self-control. And add to your self-control patience. And add to your patience all these things, kindness and service and love. That we have to participate with this. And so my question to us today is simple. Do you have growth rings? What steps are you taking to add to your growth? Because it's real easy to say yes to Jesus one day and to fall into a rhythm where I just show up at church and pastor, give me something good to think about, and then I'm gonna go about my life and do what I do. I'm just gonna tell you right now, if you're gonna stay in that state, you will not grow. You have to take a step. And it is my desire to help in the process. Can I just tell you, as a pastor, like it is one of my greatest desires to see not just people come to meet Jesus and begin on the journey of faith, but I wanna see you grow in maturity, and I wanna see you get roots, and I wanna see you get strong secondary growth in your life so that when, because it's not a matter of if, but when you face life storms and wind comes knocking against your life, that there is something strong and rooted and you don't get snapped like a twig when you deal with life's pain and hardship, because it is coming. This is when Jesus said, it's like the man who puts what I say into practice is the person who builds his house on a rock. But you gotta put it into practice. And I can't do that for you. But as your pastor, it's something that I dream of for every person. In fact, I long thought about how to do this in a church like ours, in a growing church. And I had this dream that kind of came to me back in 2017. So that was what, like 7 years ago. And I wrote it down. I said, I would love for everybody who's a part of this community to be able to have some kind of personalized, almost like guide to help them be able to take steps to initiate growth in their life. I didn't know how to do it. I kind of dreamed of a tool that would maybe do it. We didn't have the money to develop it, but I'm excited because I came across a tool this last fall through a friend that was almost, not quite, but almost exactly what I kind of dreamed and imagined for our church. And we as a church have invested a lot of money into creating a tool that can hopefully help you grow. I wanna share it with you right now, okay? And so I need you to get out your phone. If y'all get out your phone, we're gonna walk through this tool. You may have seen the email, but we have a new app, our X Church app. Okay, I want you to get out your smartphone. You can also point it at the QR code in the seat back in front of you if you're there. If you're online, you can just, there's a link, go to the Apple or Android and you can download it. Many of you already have in preparation for this. I'm gonna try to give you a second, but I just wanna encourage you to download this app. I want everybody in our church to have our church app. Now, if you had it before and you're like, I didn't really use it, neither did we. That's why we got rid of it. We're paying for an app, and we're like, this is just our website. What's the point? But we're bringing it back, and we've invested a lot of money to make this into a tool that I hope you'll engage with in your spiritual journey. And so you're going to download the app, and once you download it and open it up, okay, you will land on a home screen that looks like this. This is a home screen. This is the login for our church management system called Planning Center Online. And here's what I want to say. I want you to go ahead and start trying to log in. Most of you, I'm going to say most of you already have an account. If you've ever given, if you've ever served, if you ever checked your kids in, if you ever registered for an event, ever signed up for anything, part of a circle, you are in our system. And I would encourage you to use phone number first. It might be the easiest way because I think sometimes we forget what email, and many of us have multiple. We only have one number. But whatever you can do to log in, start that process now, because we're gonna walk through it. And if not, you can do this later. And if you are new to the system, you'll have to create an account. But once you kind of say, hey, this is me, and it finds your number, it's gonna ask you one time for a code. So put it in. If you don't log out, it won't ask you again, okay? So one time for a code to do this. Now let me say, if you're brand new or maybe you don't have an account and you can't find it, and you create a new account, do that. And then just know that in about 4 hours when the system refreshes, your account will show up. So if you're gonna have to just listen and follow. If you're creating a new one, you won't be able to see this, okay? So I'm trying to stall. Sorry, I'm just trying to give you some time to get your code to get in. But once you get past that, you get into the home screen, it's gonna look like this, okay? It'll have your name instead of Colby. Colby is not even a real person, but we created this for demonstration purposes, okay? Let me talk through a little bit of the app. You'll notice immediately under your name, 7 badges, 7 different icons right here. These represent different steps of engagement that we believe can help initiate growth in your life. Now, this is not everything that we need, but this is a tool in our church community to help you to initiate growth. And just to give you an idea of some of them on here, there's some about outreach, there's some about giving and serving and circles, and this one with the little church building, this is kind of cool. You may have noticed the moment you logged in on a Sunday, it popped up and it said, oh, are you attending in-person, online, 10:45 a.m. experience? And you say, I'm in person or I'm online, and hit go. That will actually eventually light up this little church building badge, and it's an attendance thing. And again, we don't keep attendance in kind of the old school way, but for you, it can be a way, if you like streaks, if you're used to things like that, it can help you create a rhythm of just getting to church regularly, okay? And so there is logic with all of these that you can find at the bottom. There's a Next Steps FAQ that'll explain them, but when you check in enough times, then your badge will light up. Okay, this will help you with your next steps. Then obviously the cross right here, you see this one's blue. The cross, it represents a decision to follow Jesus. And I imagine that many of you have maybe made that decision and you're going, it's grayed out, Pastor. I swear, I gave my life to Jesus. It was a long time ago. I believe you. The difference is we don't have that information in our system. And so when you click on it, it will pop up and it'll give you an option to say, hey, you can just let us know. For example, the baptism little one, the little water droplet, if you hit that one, you'll see a box comes up. This is about baptism. We believe that's an important step in your faith journey. And so if you've never been baptized, you'll have a little place where you can hit learn more and you'll be able to go and register, and we're gonna have some stuff to help you with that decision. If you have been baptized, and I know there are a lot of you have been baptized in the past or maybe in another church, let us know. And that's when you'll click this let us know button here. It'll take you to a little form. You just put your name, information, yes, I was baptized, and you hit submit. And once you do that, you'll get an email to verify, and then your badge will light up in 4 hours, okay? So I just wanna let you know how this process works. We go back to the home screen. And I wanna encourage you to look at these. And I think here's a beautiful thing to see. I think this is a mirror. You know, scripture says in James that the word of God is like a mirror. Sometimes it's good for us to go, yeah, I don't have a lot of things lit up. Can I just encourage you? Use this as encouragement for taking a step. I hope this will initiate growth in your life, okay? And so then I wanna direct your attention to what's below that on the home screen, because it's really cool, okay? If you watch this, below that, you'll see these messages. Here's what's really cool about these messages. They are personalized to you. You are not all gonna see the same messages. You could see very different messaging than the person you're sitting next to. This is what we always kind of hope for. This is our way of encouraging you on what your next steps are, okay? Then you'll see a profile underneath that that has your information. You'll see some links that you can click on to help you in the process. But I want you to know this. These messages, every time you get in the app, I want to encourage you to scroll through them. They're gonna change, they're gonna be different. When there are different things happening in the life of our church that are for you, you're gonna see those, and guess what, other people won't. And so these are personalized messages that we're creating for each person to help them in their spiritual journey based on these badges. And so this can be a great way for you to just kind of engage in your own faith journey, okay? Then you're gonna see at the bottom your information. And here's what I would encourage you, if there is information missing, you go, you got the wrong address, you got the wrong email, the wrong phone number. We just need your help to update it. There's a way to do that at the very beginning. There's a welcome to the app where you can update your information. And so please do that, and Let's be on accurate information as we do this together. There's a way for you to update your profile picture through Planning Center, all of that that you can do on the app. I also want to point out that these couple other little badges right here under your name down at the bottom, these are called milestone badges, and you'll see more and more of these popping up. Milestone badges, the little X right here, this is if you have attended Welcome to the X, it will light up. If you're new, you never have, can I encourage you? You can click on it, and then you could register, and you could go through it. I encourage you to go through it. This other one right here, if you click on this one right here, this is like a little leader badge. This is like, it encourages you. Maybe this is a milestone in your faith journey. Is maybe there's a point where you've been a part of circles for years that maybe it's time for you to start leading, start being in this. So there's the things that you can do as a leader. And so we go back up to the home screen here. This is a very personalized tool that we will constantly be sending messages and things that when you hop in there, they're going to be personalized for you. Parents, here's the cool thing. If you got students that are, maybe when it's summer camp come up, guess what? You're going to see messages in there for you. Students, you're going to see messages for you. If you parents, you got kids, we got child dedication, it's going to pop up for you. So this is a way for us to tailor a faith spiritual experience digitally for every person in our church. Now, that's not the end. This app is going to be even more robust than that. We're still building it out, but I just want to get people started on it. Let me show you a couple other things. If you click on the little church tab down here at the bottom, okay, on your phone, your app, you're going to notice that there are some specific resources for when you're engaged with church, whether in person or online. This is really cool that when you're here, there's a connect card if you want to share something with us or you need to get a message to us. There is, like, if you're traveling and you're like, oh, how do I get to this live site? I want to stream. I'm at the beach, but I want to engage. I don't want to miss. You can just pull up your app, go to church, live.thex.church. Boom, you're there. There's prayer requests. If you're here on Sunday and you have a prayer need, you can just click that and fill it out while you're sitting here. And our prayer team will get on it right away. And we'll be praying for you, care, all these things, okay? So the cool feature that I wanted to point out that's new is this message notes feature. And when you click on message notes, it opens up where you can actually see the notes for the message with fill in the blanks that you could, for all my type A people that go, I just need something to fill in. It's how I learn, Pastor. Like, for example, we had this one. Let's see if you got it right. Your faith grows when you add to it. And what's cool is if you type in the wrong word, it goes red. No, that's the wrong word. And it will even reveal it to you if you missed it. Isn't that cool? So here's what's awesome as well. So each week, we're going to put in scripture verses and points and notes for you, a way for you to type your own notes. You'll see that in the bottom. And then when you're done, you can click email, and you can email this to yourself. And you can just collect them. You can put them in a folder, and you can store all your message notes from when you're here on Sunday so that you can ever go back and search and find maybe something that God spoke to you while you were at church. Isn't that cool? It's pretty awesome stuff, right? Then if you go back here to this is the church tab. If you click on the media tab at the bottom, this one looks one way now, but it's about to get robust. This one is going to be one where you might want to get into the app during the week, okay? Right now you get on there, you can click to watch past messages, you can ex-worship Spotify playlist, there's the podcasts that we have, the ex-podcast, the Inspired. But we are building this out so that this is going to be a tool that's going to have all kinds of things that you can binge. You know, we binge Netflix, we binge Hulu, we binge Disney Plus, we binge all those things. Do you know what will help initiate growth in your faith is when maybe you also binge on God's word, when you binge on things that will help you grow in your knowledge. That's one of the things that Peter talked about, right? And so we're going to be adding a lot to this one. The labs that we're creating, different topics that you want to know more about, messages, books, podcasts, things that we curate for you. You'll be able to spend hours in the media one as we're still building it right now. So that's coming. We'll let you know about more of that. Then at the bottom, there's this Bible button, and this is cool. You can just be in the church app listening to the message, and you can just flip over, and you can pull up the scripture verses that are in there. There's ways you can engage with the Bible. You can do this at home on your own. And then there's a little tab at the bottom here that is give, where you can come to church. You go, hey, it's an easy way to click right in to give online. And so you can go back to the home page. And this is a new tool that I hope, it's my prayer, my hope, that will initiate growth in your life. Isn't that cool? It's cool. And I want you to know, We're investing a lot of time and money into this. We've invested tens of thousands of dollars into creating this tool because it's my heart, it's my desire that I want for you guys to be able to grow. Growth doesn't just always happen. I mean, I think there's an initial wave of growth that happens when it's brand new, and that's exciting. But I'm gonna tell you, like any of us that have been on the journey for a while, we're walking on the path, you have to take steps or you're gonna stop growing. And something's gonna initiate. God brings the real transformation. Please don't miss that. I trust in God to bring the growth into my life, but I have to participate with God by taking steps. And so it's my prayer for all of us in this community that we will do that, that we will continue to grow in our faith together. Why? Because I want you to be mature. Because when you're mature and you're planted, you're gonna produce really good stuff. You're gonna produce the kind of life that the world's gonna see you and say, I want to know why you're the way you are. That's gonna happen when you get planted and you begin to grow. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for the promises that you have given us, that everything we need for life and to serve you is found in Jesus. And God, I pray that we can rest in that. I pray when it comes to our faith, to believe you for our future and our eternity, that we do it not based on our works, but we do it based on what Jesus did for us. Maybe you're here today and you want to grow, but you've never made that first important decision to follow Jesus. Can I tell you, it begins with faith. And here's the beautiful thing. God has given you enough faith because you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. God has given you enough faith in this moment that if you reach out for him, that if you trust in him, you surrender your life to him, he will meet you. And here's the beautiful thing. Jesus took care of it. He dealt with your sin on the cross. He's done everything you need. All you have to do is receive him. Scripture says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus raised from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. For some of you here today, maybe this is your decision. If that's your prayer, if that's your desire, if you want to begin this relationship today, then I just want to invite you just to pray something like this in your heart. You just say, God, today I give you my life. I surrender it completely to you, Jesus. Today I reach out for you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Today I give my life, my whole life to you. I choose to follow after you. And for others of you, maybe in this space, maybe you've made that decision, but the truth is, as you look at your own life, your own story, you realize there has not been a lot of growth lately. There's no condemnation here, but I hope there's encouragement. And I hope God's Spirit is prompting you today to say, maybe I need to do something to add to my faith. And so God, I pray that by your Spirit, you would give each of us the wisdom, the courage to take that next step. Maybe it's to get baptized. Maybe it is to get in a circle. Maybe it's to do some outreach. Maybe it's to begin giving, to come regularly, to engage in reading my Bible, whatever it might be. I pray, God, that you give us the strength and the courage to take that step. God, I know that you will meet us and that, God, I want to be planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in every season, does not wither, but prospers. God, I pray that over every person in this church community. And I thank you, God, for your grace to help us in that journey. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, let's thank God for his grace. You know, there's a grace for the journey.
Thanks so much for tuning into this message. I hope that it encouraged you and inspired your faith. If God is doing something in your life, would you take a moment and let us know? We want to connect with you and we want to be able to pray for you. All you have to do is shoot us an email to hello@thex.church, or you can always send us a DM on one of our social media platforms. And if you know somebody that would also be encouraged by this very message, why not take a moment and just share it with them right now? And as always, I want to say thank you to every single person who so generously financially supports this ministry so we can continue to get messages like these out to people all over the world. We believe God is building something special and you're a significant part of it. Until next time, have a great day.